Good morning. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM. This is Victor Mandolia, your host. And today we're going to have a discussion about transgender issues, transgender with three transgender activists. I'm with Christopher Argyros and Kim Dorsey and Sarah Coftree. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So I thought, you know, we're being broadcast in Columbia and Greene counties, and some people may not understand what transgender means or what a trans person means. So maybe we could start there and just talk a little bit about what the term includes and what it's about.
Sure, yeah. We can start with that. It's likely that a lot of listeners have heard the word transgender at some point, especially since this topic's been getting quite a bit of press.
And it's the T in LGBT.
It's the T in LGBT that is often far too silent. So we are bringing it out of that silence and giving voice to it. So what is transgender? That's a pretty broad question, because I think it, you know, would probably vary a lot depending on the person that you're asking, even depending on the transgender person that you're asking. But generally speaking, a person who's transgender is a person whose gender identity isn't the same as the gender identity that they had at birth, that they were given at birth. So a person who was born male and assigned, you know, it's a boy, and assigned, you know, that gender at birth, their gender identity it is not that of male or that of a boy or that of a man, but that of something else. Mm-hmm. So that might be a confusing definition right there. So it might help to give, you know, a little bit of like some examples. Like myself, for example, I was born female, but I'm transgender, and I transitioned genders, and now I'm Christopher, and I identify as a transgender person.
Right. And it's somewhat of a catch-all, because it's a description that can be many different fluid things. It could be somebody who has already transitioned, it's somebody who has not transitioned yet and just identifies as another gender as well. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that. But as well as knowing who you are and yourself, this is Kim Dorsey. And for myself, being born what we now refer to as intersex, and then being swayed to be a male because of long history in medical, I find that it's just more about now recognizing who you are as an individual. Uh-huh. And holding to that.
Right. I read somewhere recently that 1% of children are born intersex. That's really actually quite a large percentage. I mean, it's a small percentage of the population in general, but 1% is of 300 million people
needs.
Is a lot
exactly.
of people.
It's a lot of people.
and in the past, it's been that children who were born intersex, basically the parents had to choose which sex they wanted to have, right? So often that didn't match the emotional or the psychological identity that the person was born. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's important to make a distinction that people who are transgender are not necessarily intersex. Most people who are transgender were not born right. with an intersex condition.
Right.
Most people who are transgender were born and, you know, were kind of neatly placed in a male or female box.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then later said, but the way I feel does not fit the box that was assigned to me.
Right, I see.
You know, I can share for myself. This is Sarah. I was born female. I identify as genderqueer. So that's kind of what you were talking about before, with the trans being used as an umbrella term. So
right.
I have not transitioned my body or gone on hormones, but I identify very strongly as genderqueer or gender fluid. So
right.
I use both pronouns. I sometimes go by a different name, although that's kind of a process right now. So that's my experience, and that still falls under the transgender experience,
right,
too, in its own way.
Sure. We have a number of people in Hudson that are the same. Mm-hmm. I think are biologically female, but have changed their names and are identifying as male. So it's very interesting to I think is more of this. There's quite a bit of people who fit into this category that maybe have not people see but don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, people are starting to realize that human beings are not so are not so simple as to just fit into two neat categories, you know. And this has been over history and over cultures. I mean, there have been many cultures throughout time that have recognized either that there's a third gender or some other variation on a more complex system of gender, and recognizing and accepting that gender is a fluid thing and that it's not so simple as just.
Right.
These two boxes.
A and B. This might be C, D, and E, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
And that makes the world...
Sometimes
Z, exactly. Yeah, I think that makes the world a much more interesting place, honestly, and that complexity and diversity should be embraced.
Right. So as transgender people and or queer individuals, whatever, you obviously must experience some discrimination both in the gay community, I think, as well, and in society at large. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
Yeah, well, discrimination is a big issue. Discrimination, harassment, there was a study back a couple of years ago, I think, the National Transgender Discrimination Survey, that looked at discrimination in the workplace, at schools, economic insecurity, housing discrimination. I mean, pretty much across the board, you can find ways in which transgender folks or gender nonconforming folks are not protected. If you are at all out about your identity, if you're visible, and if folks know that you are transgender or can tell you're gender nonconforming in some way, you're much more likely to be harassed and to face discrimination. Mm-hmm. So,
or physical violence as well.
Physical
obviously.
Violence, exactly. For youth, it's a huge problem. There's a lot of bullying that happens in schools. Mm-hmm. A lot of youth are not supported by their families when they're in the process of coming out, so there's a huge problem of runaway homeless youth.
Right.
Homelessness itself for youth and adults is a huge issue.
The Pride Agenda did a survey that showed that a third of transgender people in New York State had been homeless at one time in their life.
And I guess, for gay people coming out alone, there's a lot of homelessness that attached to that because families reject them. But I would think that transgender people or gender nonconforming people face even a harder time with their families. Do you agree?
Because it's another fear of the unknown.
Right.
You know, I found in my life that I haven't had a lot of discrimination because I do sway in a visual towards one end.
Right.
So I don't get a lot of discrimination.
Uh-huh.
But just knowing that the group that I work with, their families have ostracized them because of their choices or the fact that they wanted to, you know, try it out to see where they fit.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah, and I would say that in terms of, I mean, a lot of parents of transgender kids that I've heard speak have said, well, I thought my kid was gay or lesbian, and I was kind of okay with that. And then they told me that they said, well, no, I'm trans. And then it was like, what? So I think it's a lot of it is just more like an awareness thing than anything else. And that, you know, the movement since the 60s has been largely, you know, the folks that have been out front of the LGBT movement have been lesbian and gay people. That's not how it was at the beginning of the movement, but in terms of the way the movement evolved and the nonprofit organizations that cropped up out of the LGBT civil rights movement has been largely run by lesbian and gay people. And so trans issues are now starting to, you know, get their day in the sun more and more.
And we are we're recording this at the offices of the Empire State Pride Agenda. The Pride Agenda has been at the forefront, at least in New York, of trans issues as well.
Yes, absolutely. Over the last 10 years, the Pride Agenda has been working very diligently on the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, which is a bill that would protect transgender people as well as all people from discrimination based on their gender identity expression. And at this point, the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act is our legislative priority. Mm-hmm.
So the Gender Expression Identity Non-Discrimination Act is called GENDA. GENDA, and it is as you said one of the priorities of the Pride Agenda. So maybe you could tell a little bit about what GENDA would do, and how it's, you know, whether it stands a chance of passing this year and all that.
Sure. So as Sarah was saying, you know, transgender people really experience, and gender nonconforming people really experience discrimination in all areas of life, pervasive discrimination. So the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, fondly known as GENDA, wouldn't eliminate discrimination, but it would make discrimination in New York State illegal. So it would add the term gender identity and expression to our human rights laws. So right now we have these statewide human rights laws that protect people from discrimination based on race, sex, disability, a number of other, you know, religion, creed, a number of protected classes. Sexual orientation. That was passed in 2002. So GENDA would simply add gender identity expression to that list of protected classes. And this would mean that in New York State it would be illegal to discriminate against someone in employment, in housing, in certain types of education, and in public accommodations. Mm-hmm. And that last piece is kind of the one that folks get confused about, because, you know, what is a public accommodation?
Right.
Most people don't know what that is, and we can talk about that if you'd like.
But it's really just any business that's open to the public, right? Is that
It's any private business that's open to the public, or you know, government offices, right. Public transportation, mm-hmm. which includes
hotels, motels, you know,
which includes even includes doctors' offices and hospitals, because we actually do see trans people experiencing discrimination in doctors' offices, mm-hmm. which is pretty unbelievable.
Yes, it's really important to know that, because I think a lot of folks don't know. Right now, you can be fired from your job for being transgendered. You can be refused a job for being transgendered. This happens all the time, which increases the basic economic insecurity of trans folks. You can be refused service at a place, and healthcare, especially, like Chris was saying, when you're going to a doctor, you can be, I mean, it actually puts you in a very vulnerable position, because you're going to a doctor because you're physically ill, you need something checked out, and then you're having to, like, bring your body into that room. And if you're transgendered, you don't know how the other person's going to react.
Mm-hmm. Even the study New Yorkers showed that 17% of transgender people have been actually refused medical care because they're transgender.
If you're just joining us, this is At Issue. We're talking about transgender issues and the GENDA, which is the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, which is a legislative priority for a number of LGBT organizations in New York State. And we're with Christopher Argyros, Kim Dorsey, and Sarah Kauftry. We're talking about trans issues here. So let's see. So as far as GENDA goes, do you see the possibility of passing it this year? I mean, we had a major victory with marriage equality, and since this is a legislative priority now for the Pride Agenda, do you think that we may see its passage this year?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly optimistic, but I'm also an optimist at heart. So, I mean, I'm a community organizer, so that's, you know.
So the answer would be yes, it's going to happen.
Optimism fuels me. So I think, you know, we're certainly doing all that we can to see this legislation pass in New York State. It's long overdue. It's been around for 10 years. It was first introduced in 2003, and it has passed the Assembly 5 times. So. So it certainly deserves its, you know, it certainly deserves to pass at this point.
And with the coalition government in the state Senate, do you see that the possibility that it at least gets to the floor?
You know, we are working every day and advocating every day and having conversations every day with legislators,
right.
Democrat, Republican.
Sure.
This isn't necessarily a Democrat issue or a Republican issue. It's
right.
a civil rights issue,
right.
Which shouldn't necessarily be a partisan issue.
Sure. So we talked a little bit about the discrimination that people face, transgender or people who are gender nonconforming. Because I think that people should understand why this would be necessary. People say, well, you already have a sexual orientation non-discrimination act, so why would transgender have to be, or gender identity have to be a separate class? Maybe somebody could address that.
Well, for me, again, because with me, with the gender, my whole stand is that being a human being, I feel that it's deserving of me. Just because I live and breathe just like everyone else
right.
in the world. So if there's protection for us as we the people, then I am part of that we the people. So
uh-huh.
that's what passioned me to move forward in the movement.
Right.
Because I was really appalled at the fact that you take my money as a taxpayer
right.
and you tell me, okay, I can live this certain way only until a certain point of.
Right.
So again, it really turns my stomach to know that these simple clauses are not there just to make a human being feel human.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sarah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's also really important to understand the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. You know, it was amazing that sexual orientation was included. You know, a few years ago when that passed, that became included in the Non-Discrimination Act,
right.
Along with race and creed and all those other things. But sexual orientation doesn't protect us because
right.
at its essence, gender identity is a very different thing. So, and sex is, interestingly enough, sex is
Everybody's.
One of the categories protected.
Right.
But that's only carried so far. That's sex in terms of like, well...
Right.
Women can't be fired because they're women doing the job, you know.
Right.
Men and women must be treated equally. And that doesn't extend to transgender folks.
And of course, many transgender people are not gay.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sexual orientation is who you want to be with. And gender
right.
identity is
who
you
are.
Be.
Right. right.
You know. So, and I think that also one thing that's, you know, that's interesting to point out is that a lot of people who are LGB also are experiencing discrimination because of their gender expression.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if Bob at the workplace is being discriminated against, it's not necessarily because he dates Jim. It
right.
actually might be because he doesn't fit within, you
right.
know, normative standards of masculinity.
Exactly.
Bob might be, you know, more quote unquote effeminate
right.
than is the norm, than is the accepted norm at his workplace,
right.
and he might experience discrimination because of that.
Right.
Or, you know, Judy might be a masculine woman, a butch woman, and might be experiencing discrimination at her workplace because of that gender expression,
right?
Not necessarily because she's a lesbian or because
right.
of her sexual orientation.
Sure.
So this is a law that won't just protect transgender people, like I
right.
said earlier. It protects
because
everybody.
It's often the perception of something, right?
Right?
I mean, and with the hate crimes bill, gender expression is not part of the hate crimes bill as it is now?
Currently, gender identity expression is not protected in our hate crimes law, and this would add that as a protected class to our hate
uh-huh.
crimes laws as well.
Because often people are harassed or beaten or attacked because
based
they're
on.
Perceived to be
right,
something that they may not be
exactly.
either. So it would also protect people who just may not fit into the gender norm of that society sees. So
right.
that's a very interesting thing to address as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also important to recognize that the folks who are experiencing the most harassment, the most violence when walking down the street is transgender women.
Right.
That's every year we see that transgender women are being killed, being murdered, and we honor their lives with the Transgender Day of Remembrance. But, I mean, if you just, all you have to do is look at the hard facts, and you can see that it's really transgender women that are experiencing a lot of violence.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking about transgender issues. This is At Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia, and we're here with Christopher Agiros, Kim Dorsey, and Sarah Coftree, who really are... span the range of gender expression and identity, right? Let's see. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the organizations that you're each working with.
Sure.
Okay, I run a group, a facilitated group for transgender men and women through NRM Voices. And with that group funnels their fundings and their attention on the ethnic and diversity of the LGBT. Mm-hmm. People who are low to middle income, suffering from HIV or discrimination, as well as domestic violence, mm-hmm. in our African American, ethnic, Latino groups.
So communities of color within the LGBT community.
Yes.
Right.
And then also to those who are not as so much boisterous in voicing. Mm-hmm. So we are an advocacy nonprofit organization that actually advocate for the people who don't have a voice. Thus, it's in our own voices.
Right. And is it? And I know you have it's not your organization, mm-hmm. but you work with them. As you have a center on Lark Street in Albany. Mm-hmm. And is it a drop-in center or is it?
Well, right now we're. Of course, you can always drop in and fill out a clinical intake if you need services, uh-huh. of course. And then our group is a drop-in basis. You know, from 6 to 7:30 every two Wednesdays, second and fourth Wednesday, we're there. We have several other groups that we're expanding from just knowing the issues that build around our transgender community.
Right.
We have women who sex with women. We're starting, we're looking into now focusing on the youth, because as we were saying earlier, the youth in our transgender movement is really suffering.
Right.
Because not only do they don't have a voice, they don't really have a say because of their age, because,
sure.
you know, under parents' guidance. So they're really trapped. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to give them a voice as well as a place to where they can just come and express,
right.
you know, what they need and what they
and realize that there are others like them who you're
tons.
Everybody's supporting each other, and
exactly.
So it's a great.
I'm trying to create a unity in our African American culture, because within our culture, we suffer already from the down low of the LGBT.
Right.
So compiled on that. It's still, you know, stuffed down. So I'm in the trenches.
So for people who don't know what that means, maybe you could explain what that is.
The down low?
Yeah.
Well, it's a term that has been used across different cultures. Now,
right.
in the African American culture, down low is more of a straight man having intercourse in or relationships with someone in the LGBT community.
Right.
Mainly of the gay and transgender community.
Right.
But they're still living heterosexual lives, going about their heterosexual worlds.
Right.
More of the other cultures, like in the...
Some might say closeted. They live a closeted life, but it's not really... But it's
not necessarily
even
really
that.
Closet, because in closet, you still know who you are. You're just in the closet waiting for your moment to shine.
Right.
You know, with down low, you deliberately mislead and manipulate your lives.
Right.
To make others feel... I feel like I'm trying to train my ladies now that, in a way, your down low activity is really demeaning you. It's
right.
not really giving you your voice.
Right.
It's not really giving you your power. Because it gives a person a chance to project, you know, to subject you to sex, violence,
right.
abuse on a time basis, you know, and then they get to go track right back to their happy heterosexual world, and we're just still there,
right.
isolated.
Right.
So it's a hard thing to do, and when you have so many layers holding you down,
sure.
it's just really hard to.
And so so part of the work that you're doing is also discussions, like open discussions about HIV and HIV transmission,
exactly.
and all that.
Right. Right now, I'm in the process of turning my group more into a Model T Sister. I don't know if anyone is familiar with the T Sister program out of New York City, but with that program, where it's still focused on the empowerment of gender pride, but we're now going to start gearing it, the conversations, more to the activities, the HIV, the Hep C, you know, the street walking. Where for me, I feel that's where I have to start. I have mm-hmm. to start where they're at and try to get them motivated enough to know that there's more than just this.
Right. So it's a lot of harm reduction.
A lot of harm reduction. But I don't want to give the audience the impression that we're just out there being deviant without no recourse to it. But in a lifestyle when you're shackled and held down by stereotypical images based on your identity,
right,
there's avenues for escape,
right,
you know, and we do it in so many forms. So.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely important to recognize that a lot of folks, when folks are engaging in, you know, some sort of quote-unquote illegal activity, such as sex work, that oftentimes it's because they can't get a job in a quote-unquote legitimate profession because there is such rampant employment discrimination against transgender people.
Sure.
And if you were bullied in school and dropped out of school early and you can't get a job and, you know, you don't necessarily have adequate health care and services, you know, sometimes there's, you know, this is survival.
Right.
So, and that's also one reason that the HIV rates are so much higher in the trans community. We have about a 5% rate of HIV compared to the population is really like 0.5% around there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really, it's an interconnected web of discrimination.
The discrimination on top of the not acceptance, the general not acceptance in the community, the
economic background to the whole piece.
Right.
And as Chris was saying, with we knowing these numbers exist, those are just the numbers that actually come forth and say, hey, this is what's happening to me. Can you imagine the scope of the actual numbers for those who do stay in the closet or quiet, as one would say?
Yeah.
It's just huge.
Yeah.
Right.
And I find from dealing with the ladies and gentlemen that these issues just run so deep, you know, and there's just so many scars. And it's all based on identity.
Yeah.
You know, like Sarah said, it's not even based on what I do in my bedroom at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on just the appearance you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so again, it's just, it's really sad when something like a gender bill would not just sail right through when we talk about human rights and civil rights. It's just really America, I just assume, as human beings would just be far more in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's also important, you know, while we're talking about this, to also recognize that the trans community, the transgender community, is very resilient is a really a powerful community in a lot of ways, despite the many challenges and obstacles that we have currently in society. We are still, here. We're still thriving in a lot of instances and living, you know, and being important parts of our communities.
Right.
And still supporting. And we're still allies to the surrounding world.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, are you a peer counselor? Or are
yes.
You, yes, okay. Sarah, maybe you could talk a little bit about the organization that you're with. It's the Trans Advocates of the Capital Region, right?
Yeah. So I'm one of the lead organizers for the new group, Trans Advocates of the Capital Region. We just formed a few months ago. And basically, it was you know, a handful of us trans and gender nonconforming folks that got together and said, hey, there's some gaps here in the community. You know, we want to bring our community together and see what we can do. And we've gotten a lot of interest and a lot of, like, passionate souls on board, and we're gathering more, and it's pretty exciting. We are... we're very, very grassroots. We're, you know, not funded. We're not, you know, an official, you know, big entity. We're not sure that we...
Want to become
that, because we actually have a lot of things that other organizations can't do. We're not responsible to funders at this point. So we have a committee right now that's working on GENDA, on GENDA lobbying exclusively, and then we have another committee that's working pretty much on outreach and on forming relationships in the community, on establishing bridges, on recruiting more membership, on just getting folks more involved and interested. You know, we've been working with the Pride Agenda, with In Our Own Voices, with the Pride Center, and reaching out to a whole bunch of other folks. We're in the process of figuring out how we best fit and what our strengths are as a group. So we're kind of assessing what where are the holes in the community? You know, what's really needed? Uh-huh. What do organizations, what do some other organizations wish they can do, but they don't have the capacity to do, or they're stretched too thin?
Right.
What are the greatest needs from the trans folks and from the really diverse trans community that's in the area?
So how can folks find out about the group?
So there's a couple ways to find out. We have a Facebook group. If you go to facebook.com/transadvocatescr, facebook.com/transadvocatescr is our Facebook page. We also have an email address that folks can write to, which is transadvocatescr@gmail.com. So you can reach out, you can find us on Facebook, send us an email, and if you're in the area and want to get involved, we would love to have you. We'd love, you know, just more brain power in the group.
Do you hold regular meetings?
We do hold regular meetings. Our committees meet about once every 2 weeks, and then we have a full group meeting about once a month. Mm-hmm. And we're also starting a tradition of having a regular trans night out in the community. The next one's actually, or the first official one is a trans night in. It's going to be a movie night.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This has kind of been an impromptu thing that started in Albany that we've been doing over the last few months for a while now, every month.
I want to go.
Trans night out. You're welcome. It's a good time.
and does In Our Own Voices have a website or a Facebook page?
You could get information through www.blackandlatinogaypride.com. That's just the actual organizational website we set up for our Gay Pride that's coming up in June. Well, the end of May and June. Uh-huh. And then it'll send you a link to In Our Own Voices.
Great. And we'll repeat these at the end of the show as well so that you can get in touch. And maybe, Christopher, maybe you could talk a little bit about the work that you're doing with the Pride Agenda.
Sure, yeah. So I am with one of the big organizations. I'm with the statewide LGBT advocacy organization, the Empire State Pride Agenda, which listeners, you know, may have heard of. The Pride Agenda was certainly instrumental during the marriage equality.
And our largest LGBT rights organization in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Yes. So in my position as the trans rights organizer, I've had an opportunity to engage in a lot of work around trans issues and improving the lives of transgender New Yorkers. In particular, I am very much engaged in the campaign around the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, so that there are a lot of different pieces to this campaign, and there's actually a lot of ways that folks can get involved in the campaign depending on their interests and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We have a statewide coalition that consists of about 80 people on the coalition now, and that represents, some folks are individual activists, and many represent organizations, big organizations like the New York Civil Liberties Union, Housing Works, and whatnot. So we do have a statewide coalition that is working on this bill. And I also work to, as an organizer, you know, I work to garner support for the bill, and I see it as my job to kind of gather that support, garner that support, and then figure out the way to funnel it so that people in the Capitol hear our voices.
Right.
You know, I see it as kind of part of making democracy work.
Right. Exactly. So, and I know that you have Equality and Justice Day coming up, right?
We do, yeah. That's our biggest day of the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Equality and Justice Day this year is April 30th, and we have hundreds of people come from all over the state. It's the biggest statewide gathering of our LGBT community. And like we said earlier, this year the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act is our legislative priority, but we will also be advocating around, for funding for our community, for Health and Human Services, mm-hmm. for runaway homeless youth. We'll be advocating around, there's a surrogacy bill, Child Parent Protection Act, that we are starting to advocate for. So it's a great day. We have
What do people do if they want to participate? Like, what is it, and how do they get plugged
in?
Sure,
it's a whole day. It's a Tuesday actually, and it has to be a Tuesday, unfortunately, for those people who work Monday through Friday. But it's got to be a Tuesday because that's when our legislators are in the Capitol. So we have legislative meetings where we get to speak directly to the decision makers and to talk about the issues that are important to us, and to talk about the fact that just because we have marriage equality, we don't have full equality in this state.
Right.
And
far
we have,
from it.
Far from it. We have a rally outside the Capitol well, weather permitting, fingers crossed. So we get to make some noise, bring our signs.
Well, the rally happens whether it's raining or not, right?
It does. It happens inside as well. It's more fun than it's outside. That's for sure.
I like when it echoes on the inside, though. That's
it's
good
true. That is, yeah. That is like a very
nobody's been
energy
inside the Capitol building, when there's a demonstration inside the Capitol, it's really quite extraordinary. It's a roar of sound inside. But
So we also have workshops that happen throughout the day. So skill building workshops. We have caucuses, so people can meet other people from around the area, from around the state, and network. So it's really, it's a great day. It's a very full day, and it's a very inspiring and exhilarating, energizing kind of.
And I think people split off and go and see their individual legislators as well.
That's
during
right,
the
yeah
day, right?
Yeah, we set up the meetings, so all you have to do is show up.
Right.
And we set up the meetings. We do provide training ahead of time, mm-hmm, for folks who have never been to a legislative visit. But it's a good way to get your feet wet, because
right
there will be other people going with you who
right
have done this for years.
Right.
And it's really a very empowering thing to go and speak to
yes
your legislator,
yep,
and make
mm-hmm
your voice heard.
And there's nothing,
story.
There's almost nothing stronger as far as messaging to your legislators than to actually appear in person
yeah
in their office.
Right.
I mean, an email is one thing, and a personal letter is another, and all those things are good, but a personal visit is
yeah
a very different thing, I think, right?
Yeah.
Put the cause to the face. That's
yeah
what makes
yeah
it send it home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have never met a transgender person, and
right
it's kind of like what Harry Milk said, mm-hmm, you know, long ago, like, come out.
exactly.
Tell your story, and I think that that message and that lesbian and gay people did that actually has made a huge difference,
mm-hmm,
in terms of turning public opinion and people saying and changing views about marriage equality
right
and all of the evolution that we've seen occur quite rapidly actually in the last
mm-hmm
in the last couple decades,
mm-hmm,
and I think that the trans community is very small, and as more and more trans people come out and tell their story, people start to understand it more,
right,
put a face to the issue,
yeah,
and see, oh, this isn't like,
I mean,
this
it's
is
clear,
a human being.
And it's clear that that's what's happened with marriage equality, or just, you know, gay and lesbian rights in, on its own, because people now know people who are gay and who mm-hmm and they, like, you know, they want this, they want the same things, the good things in life for their friends or their brothers or sisters or uncles or whatever, and
right
and
or at least the equal protections,
right? No, right.
You know,
of their
nothing more,
American,
nothing special,
exactly,
right,
but at least.
Right. Right.
Basic equality under the law.
So how? So that's a, but that's a good point. So when people say, why should you have special protections? How do you answer that?
It's not special protections.
Right.
You know, we're not asking
right
for anything more than our neighbors, than, you know, the people. In,
yeah.
Yeah. You know,
we got into
life
a conversation last night about that, and I was saying to my friends, well, when our founding fathers wrote "We the People," aren't I part of "We those people"?
Right, right.
So it's just basic. It's just simple as that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what our human rights laws are there for. They're there to recognize that there are certain characteristics, innate
exactly
characteristics, about people that are used to discriminate against them, you
mm-hmm
know, and have been historically used, you know. Historically, classes that have been historically discriminated against. And transgender people are one of those classes that have been historically discriminated against and are, as we've been talking about, experiencing enormous levels of discrimination,
mm-hmm,
types of and various types of discrimination. So, I mean, so this is a community that really is a marginalized community and really and really needs
right
equal protections under the law.
I know this is so, it's somewhat quieted down for, you know, somewhat, but in the past, even in the gay community, there were a number of people who were advocating to jettison transgender issues because it would hold back gay and lesbian issues. I mean, I think it's outrageous to say, but do you find that has somewhat gone away?
I think that we've definitely seen that subside,
right,
for sure. Yeah. I think that, for the most part, what I see is that people who are lesbian and gay understand, you know, get
right
it, and understand that the issues of discrimination based on gender identity expression affect them as well.
Right.
You know, and that we are one community, and trans people were here from the start. Trans people
right
were the people at Stonewall, at the
mm-hmm
Stonewall Rebellion,
right,
you know, who were primarily involved with that, the spark of the LGBT movement.
Exactly.
And then, you know, we're eventually, as you said,
the girls threw the first bricks.
Yes.
Exactly. So hopefully we're seeing, you know, more of a unity. And we saw this also, the Violence Against Women's Act, we also saw the community really come together to say, we have to include LGBT in the Violence Against Women's Act. And that was, and that was unity with the women's, you know, with the women's equality movement as well.
Right.
So I think that people are starting to see all of these types of discriminations are intersecting.
Sure. Mm-hmm. This is At Issue. We're talking about transgender issues here today, and we're with Christopher Argyros and Kim Dorsey and Sarah Coftry. We just have a little bit more time, but maybe we could go around and just if you have you could have an opportunity to just say something that we haven't already touched on. Is this something that you each have something to say about?
We've covered everything that needs to be talked in reference to our topic this morning.
Uh-huh.
But if I could pass on anything to anyone, I would say in your day-to-day life and you're out walking the streets and you see people, don't judge a person just by what you see. If someone seems different to you or wear different looks or don't speak in your language, I would implore you to go and speak with that person and get to know that person, because then you'll find that that person is just like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to end discrimination at the lowest form, it requires everyone.
Right.
You know, our congressmen and the people we put in charge can only do so much if we don't say, hey, this is what we do not like as people.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to, you know, reach across the line and say, I see you.
Same. Or they're not necessarily the same as you, but celebrate the difference. How about that?
Well, the same as you, meaning that if I cut you,
right,
I'm human just like you.
Right.
And if anything, celebrate my difference, because my difference can make you a better person.
Right.
You can make me a better person.
Yeah.
You know, we're all fabric in this. We're a little piece of fabric in this web we call life.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely echo that. I think it's, I loved what you said about, you know, stopping discrimination at the roots. You know, this legislation is crucial to pass to, you know, recognize our rights on the state level. And there's more work that needs to be done after that. You know, we need to be working at this very grassroots level of, you know, even just our day-to-day interactions with folks.
Right.
Exactly.
And also we need to keep in mind that, you know, different folks experience oppression in different ways, and so, you know, there's such a diversity even within the trans community. You know, when you've got intersecting oppressions, you're even more worse off. So, you know, the experience of a Black, low-income trans person is very different than the experience of, you know, a white, middle-class trans person with a graduate degree.
Exactly.
Because of just the institutionalized racism and classism and all these other things of our society. So I guess one thing that I'd love to leave folks thinking about too is, if you care about trans rights, you also care about racial equality. You also must care about class inequalities and these issues that are all connected in different ways.
Right.
If you care about social justice, you've got to care about social justice in all the in all the forms it takes.
Yeah.
And that's something we as a community, I think, need to be really dedicated to as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Well, of course, I want people to get involved, you know, in the movement. And I encourage people to call me. 518-649-8140 is my number. And this is Christopher, again, from the Pride Agenda. And there are lots of ways to get involved in the movement in New York State, because, as we said, this is a really basic civil rights issue. And 16 other states have already passed laws like this. You know, we already have local laws covering 60% of New York. So this is really, you know, this is a piece of legislation that's just long overdue.
And it's not a new concept. Folks have been doing this. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So 16 states have a gender expression non-discrimination.
Yeah, that's right. States like New Mexico.
Wow.
So we're really Iowa. I mean, you know.
We're behind the curve
on
this.
Nevada.
Right.
So it's like, come on, y'all.
Come on
New York State. Let's get this done.
It's a new and strange idea. Yeah.
We're supposed to be paving the way New York.
Right. I mean, it was the same with marriage equality too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
we were like, New York not does on the something,
curve. Everybody
when New York
listens,
does something,
yes.
people pay attention.
Exactly.
And so your phone call to your legislator or coming to Equality and Justice Day, it's a little thing, but those little things add up. And if New York State passes this law, that sends a message to the rest of the country.
Sure.
And honestly, that can resonate internationally.
Yeah.
So it's a little act that can actually have huge implications if we all do just a little bit, you know, just that one phone call, one letter, you know, show up to a lobby day, whatever it is.
Right.
So I encourage people to get involved and, you know, be a part of this movement.
Great.
Make this happen.
So I want to go around, before we call it quits, I want to just go around again, and maybe you could give your website addresses again as well. And you haven't given the Pride agendas yet, so let's do that.
Hi, again, this is Kim Dorsey at Inner Own Voices. One website you can locate us on is www.blackandlatinogaypride.com. At Inner Own Voices.
And is it all spelled out with no dashes or anything like that?
No, all one, yes, all as one word too, as well, yes.
And repeat it one more time?
Sure, www.blackandlatinogaypride.com.
Great.
And remember the date if you're in the Albany area. We're having a Gay Pride Festival May 30th through June 1st. Great information, great networking, and you'll get to see someone who has a face like mine.
Which is beautiful.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And I wanted to say, too, Chris's phone number is work, folks.
And Sarah?
All right, so I am Sarah Koftry. I am with the Transgender Advocates of the Capital Region. You can find us at www.facebook.com/TransAdvocatesCR. And
CR for Capital Region.
CR for
right?
Capital Region, yep. TransAdvocatesCR, all one word. Or you can email us at transadvocatescr@gmail.com. We'd love to have you.
Super. And Christopher?
Yeah, and this is Christopher again, and I'm from the Empire State Pride Agenda, and I'm the transgender rights organizer. And you can find out more about Equality and Justice Day. You can find out more about the work of the Pride Agenda at prideagenda.org. So www.prideagenda.org. And folks can always call me. I love just having conversations and figuring out how to get people plugged into the movement. So the number is 518-649-8140.
Great.
And when
Thank
is Equality
you,
and Justice Day?
And Equality and Justice Day this year is April 30th.
Super. And from Hudson, we offer you a big invitation to come down for Hudson Pride, too. This is coming up in June, and we'd love to see you down there. It's
down
a great event.
Yeah, we usually come down for that.
Cool.
It is a fun event.
So
Main Street down there in Hudson.
So I want to thank. This has been At Issue. We've been talking about transgender issues, and I've been with Christopher Argyros from the Pride Agenda, Kim Dorsey from In Our Own Voices, and Sarah Koftry from Trans Advocates of the Capital Region. I want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back live. This has been a recorded show, but we'll be back live the third week of April. In the meantime, thanks again for listening. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.